Bow your heads with me, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can spend this time with you. It's why we were made. It's why we were created. So, Lord, we worship you today, and we do it with your help, because without you, we can do nothing. So speak to us now, Lord. Your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we begin a series on discipleship here at Piedmont Park. We got something funny up there, don't we? Well, let's get rid of that. Hold on a sec. Don't you love computers? Have you ever wondered what God's plan was for your life? Raise your hand if you've wondered that, if you thought, what does God want me to do? Now, of course, Jesus wants us to be saved. He wants us to know him. But then what? After that happens, and after we're baptized, what then? What is my purpose in life? Well, if you have struggled with that deep question, then you are in the right place this morning, because I've been studying this idea of God's will and purpose for our life, and I have found the answer. I have. And today I'm going to reveal it to each and every one of you. What's God's purpose for your life? Aren't you so glad you're here today? You are going to get an answer that you have longed for. What is God's purpose? I'm here to tell you, friends, that Almighty God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they want you and me to be like a toy. There's the answer you've been looking for. That is God's will for your life, without a doubt. Now you can go ahead and hold your applause and your thanks until the service is over for this great revelation. That is God's will for your life. He wants you to be like a toy. But as I look out at your faces, something tells me that you look doubtful. I see dubious looks on your faces. What does this have to do? Why, God wants me to be like a toy? All right, well, I can sense that many of you aren't the type that have to be, you can't be told something, you have to be shown it. Fair enough. Today I'm going to show you, and I pray that before we're done, you're going to see that God wants you and me to be like a toy. What is God's purpose for our life? We're going to begin this series on discipleship today, and I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to our scripture reading this morning, to Matthew 28, or if you don't have the hard copy with you, get your phone, get your iPad. Pluck away until you find that Bible app and find Matthew 28. And let's figure out God's plan. Matthew 28, this is the very end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus is about ready to go back to heaven. Is God's plan for our lives that we go and earn lots of money? Is that the plan? Does Jesus tell us before he leaves, go and become famous? Is that the plan? Did Jesus, as he's getting ready to leave the earth, does he say, go therefore and attend church every week? Does he say that?
No.
There we go, I got an answer. Does Jesus go and he says, go therefore and pay tithe? Is that the last command he gives?
No.
Does he say, go therefore and build big church buildings?
No.
No. Now, friends, there's nothing inherently wrong with those last ones, those last activities. It's great to attend church, amen? It's wonderful to give. And yes, it's great to build churches. But the commission from Jesus was what? Matthew 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. He says, go and make disciples. Now, friends, if I were to tell you that us, we here at Piedmont Park, we're going to follow Jesus' command. We're going to do what Jesus told us to do. So here at Piedmont Park, we are going to be a disciple-making church. What would come to your mind? If I told you we are going to make disciples here, would you suddenly have your mind bombarded with the image of an evangelism series? 4 weeks, 5 nights a week, he's talking about. Is that what you picture when we talk about a discipleship? Or just suddenly do you think about a discipleship class where you're taught strategies on how to talk to strangers and how to make a disciple? Is that what you picture? Right now, do you think, Pastor, it sounds like a whole lot of work you're talking about? Well, if we have any of those thoughts in our heads, I believe it is because we need a new understanding of discipleship. My friends, it is easier than we thought. We know the Bible says that God wants us to make disciples. We read that. And I also told you that God's plan for your life is that he wants you to be like a toy. So how does making disciples and being like a toy fit together? Well, hang on. We're going to get there. First, let's learn what discipleship is not. We know God wants us to make disciples, but we have to figure out what discipleship is not first. Discipleship, my friends, is not a program that the church does just some of the time. Can you say amen? It's not something, okay, now we're going to do discipleship for 4 weeks. That's not it. Discipleship is also not to be guilt-driven. It's not something that we guilt ourselves into doing. Oh, I guess I have to go make disciples today. That's not Jesus' call. Discipleship is not to be done only by pastors and evangelists. Can you say amen? It's supposed to be done by everyone. And making disciples is more than just reaching a decision for baptism. That's part of it. But Jesus didn't say, go and get decisions. He said, go and make disciples. So this morning I'm going to share with you 3 key components of how we make disciples. Number 1, discipleship happens naturally. It happens intuitively when we are spiritually healthy. It happens naturally when we're healthy. Let's take a look in the Bible to see this truth. If you've got your Bibles there, turn with me to Mark chapter 5 now. We're going to see this in action. Mark chapter 5, we find the story of a man who's possessed by demons. Not just one demon, that'd be bad enough, but he's possessed by a whole horde of them. A legion of them are in him. And he runs before Jesus. This is a guy who's been living in a cemetery, running around howling, naked, cutting himself, chains hanging from him, until he meets Jesus. And Jesus casts all the demons, all of them, out of this crazy man. And watch what happens. Mark chapter 5, verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Jesus has healed this man, taken every demon out of him. This guy spent time with Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, spending time with Jesus changes the life. Amen? Amen. So now, this man who was as sick as it gets, he's now healthy. And watch what happens. He begs Jesus, says, let me come with you. And Jesus says, no. Look at verse 18. And when Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Jesus says, go and tell others. Tell your friends. Once saved from the power of the devil And once healthy, he went and shared with others. And what was the results of this man's ministry? Now, before we look at the results, did this man have a great education? Oh, we really don't know. Did he go to a school of evangelism before sharing? No. Did he attend a seminar on discipling and how to share one's faith? No. He just went and talked with his friends. And the result is verse 20. And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Everybody was shocked, and he just went and told them what Jesus had done for his life. He went and talked to his friends. Discipleship happens naturally when we're healthy Christians. And we're healthy Christians how? By spending time with Jesus. Friends, if you hang out with me long enough, you will learn something about me. For some of you, it's too much to your chagrin, but you will discover that I am a baseball fan, and not just a baseball fan. Most of you already know where I'm going. You will discover that I am also a New York Yankee fan. Hold your applause until later. I am. And you discover it just happens naturally. I didn't have to go to a class to learn how to share my fandom in the Yankees. No one had to talk me into it. It just comes out naturally. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Virginia Fullerton, who celebrated her birthday, and she had that right up in the paper. And she goes every day to the mall and just greets people. She told me this morning that this last week, a young man, 23 years old, came up to her and said, I read your story in the paper. He told her that he had been in prison. And he said, I'm turning my life around. I'm going to be a good Christian. Just by going to the mall and saying hello to people. What came naturally to Virginia, and God used that to change a life. It happens naturally, friends. You say, but Pastor, how can I be healthy? In order to share, I've got to be a healthy Christian. How can I be healthy? My life is a mess. Well, let me ask you this. Is your life worse than being a demon-possessed man, living with the dead things, cutting yourself? Yes, you have problems, and I have problems, but it does not matter what sin power has you trapped. When we spend time with Jesus, we can come out from behind the tombs. And even if we're bloody and naked, Jesus can heal us, and he can make us healthy. But why does he do that? Number one, he does it because he loves us, and he wants us to have a better life. Number two, he does it because he wants us to go and make disciples, otherwise known as Jesus wants us to get beyond the pain, to get beyond the hurt, and to go and help someone else who's hurting too. He wants us to make disciples, which is also known as being like a toy. How does that fit, Pastor? Hold on. We're going to get there. Discipleship happens naturally with healthy Christians. And it's not hard to be healthy. We just have to spend time with Jesus. But what else is needed? Number one, healthy Christians. Number two, discipleship must focus on joy and the pleasure of sharing. It has to. Dan Solis in the article described it this way. Some of us are going to have to remember back on this. For some, you're right in the middle of it. But if you're older like me, can you remember back to those days of dating and youth? And when you were thinking about getting ready to date? Think about that. Can you remember back that long? I hope so. Did someone come along as you were in your teenage, your youth years? Did they come along and encourage you to date this way? You will have to date, or otherwise, your parents will disown you. You should be ashamed about not having an interest in dating. If you love your parents, you'll date. Your nanny will be offering a dating class for the next 8 weeks, and you'll attend, unless you don't like dating. This person who doesn't like dating, well, they don't get married, and they don't have children, and if that happens, you will lose your inheritance. Would that make you excited to go dating? Would that approach work? Not at all. And yet, how many times here in the church have we used shame and fear and guilt to promote disciple making? When Jesus focuses on the pleasure and the joy of making disciples. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 15, and we'll see this. It's a beautiful chapter with three parables in it. Luke chapter 15, we have three parables that are in that about things getting lost. You ever lost something before? Man, when you lose something, it doesn't matter what else you had planned, that becomes the number one focus. I'm here to tell you, God has lost something, and it's his number one focus. These three parables, we find a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost boy. And you can read through these parables later today, but the one common thing in all three parables is at the end, when what was lost is found, there is joy and there's celebration. Look at Luke chapter 15. Look at verse 22 with me. The lost son has finally come to his senses. He's coming back to his father. In verse 22, the father said to his servants, "Bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and do what? Be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And what did they do? They began to be merry. Friends, do we throw a party when someone becomes a disciple? Are we excited when someone is saved? We have to be. We need to be. Do we throw a party when someone who has left church starts coming back? Do we rejoice with them? Well, this next month, something's going to happen if you hadn't realized it. It's coming whether you like it or not. Football is on its way. Now, I want you to imagine a football team that scores a touchdown and doesn't celebrate. They'd stand there, hands in their pockets. No high-fiving, no jumping around. The fans are standing there like this. Stone-faced. How many fans would go to a sporting stadium to see a team like that, that never celebrates touchdowns, that never celebrates victory? Would that be a popular team? Not at all. We, as a healthy church, must make disciple-making joyous. Amen? It has to be fun. We have to celebrate the victories. Because discipleship is easier than we thought. It involves being a healthy Christian, number one. Number two, it involves focusing on the joy of sharing. But you think, well, Pastor, wait a second. How can I do it, though? How can I be a disciple maker? I know it's God's plan for my life, but how? My friend, it's easier than you thought. It's easy because God wants us to be a toy. Now let me see if I can explain this to you. You say, what does being a toy have to do with sharing the good news and making disciples? Well, it's simple. As I have it right here. I've been showing it to you up there, but if you can see it way in the back, tiny little toy. Got Johanna's toy with me. She let me borrow it today. I'll have to give it back soon. You say, what's so special about this toy? It's just a toy pony, right? True. But if you expose it to the light, watch what it does. Now, I hope you'll be able to see it. This is kind of tough to do, but look. Can you see what it does? There, it's in the light. And then after it's been in the light, look. Can you see? What's it doing? It's shining. It's glowing. it shares its light. Discipleship happens, friends, when we spend time with Jesus, and then we start to shine. And you can see it in the Bible. Go and read the stories this afternoon. Look at the woman at the well. She comes to the well. She's a mess. Spends time with Jesus. And then she goes evangelizes the whole town. Zacchaeus, the crook, the tax collector, up a tree, hangs out with Jesus. What's he do? Turns his life completely around, gives the money back. Matthew, the tax collector, despised by society, spend time with Jesus, becomes a disciple. They all spent time with Jesus, and then what happened after that? They cannot help but share. Just like Moses, when he was in the wilderness, spent time with God, he comes down off the mountain, and his face can't help but shine. It just has to. Jesus wants us to be disciple makers. He wants you to be a glow-in-the-dark toy. Because a toy can't help itself. After it's been in the light, it will glow. But watch this now. It gets better. It can only glow when? When can it glow? Only after it's, one, exposed to the light, and number two, I think I heard it out here, it has to go where the darkness is. That's the only way it can fulfill its purpose. It can't glow and shine its light unless it goes to where things are dark. This is why Jesus sent that man who was healed from demons. He said, go back home. There are people there who are still in the dark, and they need to be told, go to others. But it gets even better. Because there's something else about this toy, and I know it's too far away from you to realize, but this toy, if you notice, it's a toy pony. It is missing a tail. The tail didn't last a day by the time we got it home. I think it's a design flaw in it, but it should fit just like this, right? This toy is broken. It is. But my friends, it still shines. Notice this. It's broken and it shines. I love this. Even broken toys can shine, amen? And even broken people like you and me can shine for Jesus. Even we can make disciples. Because disciple making is easier than we thought. It's not guilt-based. It's not fear-based. And it doesn't have to be expensive. We don't have to spend tons of money on an evangelist to come here and tell us how to do it for 5 weeks. We don't have to take handbills and mail them out and hardly get any response. It's not to be done just by the trained, but it's done by all of us, even us broken ones. Number one, friends, how can we do discipleship? One, we got to be healthy. Got to spend time with Jesus. Number two, we got to have joy in our hearts and we got to celebrate the victories. And number three, we need to shine the light that Jesus gives to us. And to do that, we have to go to others. And all this happens when we spend time with Jesus. Is that hard? It doesn't sound hard, but then life comes in, doesn't it? And life gets busy. And there's work to do, and there's bills to pay, and this and that and the other, and all of a sudden we've gone a whole week and I haven't really spent time with Jesus. Well, friends, coming up this next year, we're going to try to come up with ways to help you and me spend time with Jesus. One of the things we're going to do is very simple. I like things simple. When the building is built and we're all finished with the expansion, we're going to start having Bible reading groups. We're going to encourage everybody to read the Bible. And then we're going to come together, and those who want to, we're going to talk about it. It's not going to be someone up here preaching. It's not even going to be someone teaching. We're just going to come together in a circle, and we're going to say, what did God speak to you about today as you read this last week? And we're just going to talk about it. And it's going to be fun. And I hope you will come. Just got to finish the building first. Friends, making disciples, it's why we exist. And it's easier than we thought. Because it's all about building relationships. Because God didn't say to us, go therefore everywhere and rake leaves. He didn't. Now, there's nothing wrong with service projects. Those are great things to do. But we kind of have our youth always do service projects and never really learn how to share their faith. God said, go and make disciples. Build relationships with the people already around you. And as someone becomes close to you, guess what? They'll become close to your other friends who just may be church members. And hopefully they become close to your best friend who just happens to be Jesus. And friends, by building healthy relationships with others, but we kind of have our youth always do service projects and never really learn how to share their faith. God said, go and make disciples. Build relationships with the people already around you. And as someone becomes close to you, guess what? They'll become close to your other friends who just may be church members. And hopefully they become close to your best friend who just happens to be Jesus. And friends, by building healthy relationships with others, we can help them understand and build a saving relationship with Jesus. It's not as hard as we thought. Look at Jesus' model. What did he do? He had three tight friends, Peter, James, and John. They were in the inner circle. Then he had 12 colleagues. And he had 120 or so friends and tons of acquaintances. That's what Jesus asked you to do. To have friends, to have acquaintances, and then move those acquaintances closer. And as they get closer to you, guess who else they get closer to? They get closer to Jesus. Church ministries are important because it increases our acquaintances. And then when people are interested and ready, they move to the next step. And then we network them with other friends. More bonds, more reasons to get closer. But friends, we have to be willing to spend time with Jesus. Are you willing this morning, church, to spend time with Jesus so we can be healthy? Are you willing to spend time with Jesus so that we can find the joy in reaching out to someone else? And are you willing to spend time with Jesus so that we can shine? Let's start shining, my friends. Let's be glow-in-the-dark toys for Jesus. Amen? Because the command is to make disciples. Because disciples, when we spend time with Jesus, can change the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you can use the broken. You can use us to change this world. So Lord, help us to realize that it begins with spending time with you. And as we do that, it will just happen. Naturally, we'll find ways to share you with others. So let us spend time with you, Lord, and then make us the servants we need to be so that we can go and tell others about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.